Cofield and Company is at Pizza Rock inside Green Valley Ranch.
If you're really getting that worked up about it, why does it matter? Like, I don't care.
Looks like a national champion.
You know what time it is? Hey!
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling into the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get to some NFL breakdown, also more on the national title game from last night. We're going to try to hook up with a former Syracuse star, NFL star, NFL player. Actually had a weird career, but we'll break that down with Kadri Ismail, who's going to join us around 5:30. Good job by Joe Esposito. We just talked a little USC basketball, lots of Mountain West Conference basketball. If you missed the first 2 hours, we had SC coach Andy Enfield on with us, so that'll be up at lvsportsnetwork.com after the show. We're out here to watch a little hockey. Got a road game. Knights starting off this road trip in Buffalo, and 5 minutes into the second, just a few minutes ago, they scored the first goal of the game for either team, so it's 1-0. The Knights are on top. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
So, you know, we opened the show talking about how crazy it was last night for college football, and obviously the national championship between LSU and Clemson had the attention of like 99% of sports fans out there. But there was big news that came down on multiple occasions during the game. One involves a Mountain West Conference school. Hawaii lost its coach, Nick Rolovich. He goes from making $600,000 a year at Hawaii to $3 million per at Washington State. So bold move on his part. Bold's probably the wrong word. Smart move. Even if he can't succeed at Washington State, pocket the $3 million per, and I'm sure he's going to have a job playing college football. Did I say playing? Coaching college football for a while. The other news that broke, and it's not really a surprise, but another kick in the junk for Houston sports fans. And sure, the Cougars, football and basketball, doesn't rank up there with Astros fandom and Texans and Rockets, but that community has gotten behind the Cougar football program pretty good, especially Rockets owner, Golden Nugget owner, Tillman Fertitta, who puts a boatload of money into that Houston program. Things are looking up for them. But I can't remember the last time, I don't know if it's happened anytime recently, that a Group of Five school, it's probably just happened like 2 days ago, but anyway, a Group of Five school stole a Power Five coach. You remember West Virginia had Dana Holgorsen in the Big 12, and he got stolen away by the Cougar football program. But last year was really weird. After four games into the season, and it may have been five, and the quarterback had been hurt for a game, but anyway, their starting quarterback decided to shut it down because they had that, they have this rule now where, and really I think it was mostly intended for, hey, let's give freshmen a chance to play their true freshman year for like 2-3, max 4 games, get the experience, but you can still redshirt them. If you need them the rest of the season, well, then they can play more games and they lose that year of eligibility. But we actually saw some experienced players basically bail on the season once it appeared it wasn't going to be a magical season. And out of nowhere, their quarterback, De'Ara King, was like, hey, you know what, I'm done. People are like, okay, something's going on here. Why would a coach, even though he's rebuilding, why would he basically punt on the season, allow his senior quarterback to sit for the rest of the season? And the speculation began. Holgorsen basically just agreed to let De'Ara King sit and then transfer out. And there was some hope that he wasn't going to, and he still hasn't officially. But last night, as I said, Houston gets another kick in the nads. And De'Ara King, during the game, it's announced that he's transferring. And the speculation months ago was that he would land at Oklahoma. I'm not sure about that one because they've got some newcomers who are ready to replace Jalen Hurts. But it could be there. We heard his name connected to Florida State as well. By the way, I got to slip this one in. it's sort of Houston-related, but it also just came down about a half an hour ago that part of the kick in the nads yesterday for H-Town was the whole Astros thing, the cheating, the penalty, then everyone's fired by the owner, Jim Crane. Well, Alex Cora was part of the organization in 2017, and we speculated yesterday, baseball experts were saying that, hey, Cora could get a worse penalty. Well, the Red Sox didn't wait around. Within the last 40 minutes or so, Alex Cora parted ways. The Red Sox are being nice about it. They've agreed to part ways, but Alex Cora is now done with the Red Sox, so we'll see what Major League Baseball is going to announce here officially with Cora, but he is in big trouble. This thing isn't going away in a day or two. Next up.
Number four.
I'll bring Ari in for this one because I need a voice of reason, and he's got a much calmer personality than I do.
I'm the voice of reason.
Most of the time. Are we jerks if we start ripping on a wife or girlfriend who is a little too animated at a game?
There is a threshold. Like, you can be supportive, you know. It also helps to know what you're talking about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably gets on people's nerves when you're just aimlessly shouting go and have really no basis or your team's losing.
Right, because I don't want to come off as, hey, wife, girlfriend, mind your own, you don't know anything about sports and you're embarrassing your husband. There are a lot of guys who are like, hey, that's why I married her, that's why I'm with her. I'm sure Kurt Warner, you know, if you remember years ago, Brenda Warner was, you know, she was out there, she was vocal. Some thought she was kind of embarrassing Kurt, but hey, if Kurt's cool, that's what he married into, that's a relationship, who am I to say, pipe down, lady? But I gotta tell you, here's the problem now, too. Back when Brenda Warner did it, she actually had to go a couple extra steps, and she got in a little hot water because she called into a sports talk radio show, right? Now there's no filter. In the case of Pat Mahomes' girlfriend, lady named Brittany Matthews, she can just hold up her phone, and there's her interview. This was her during the Chiefs game as the Chiefs came back and were on their way to a win against the Texans. Ugh, this is shrill.
All those people that doubted us and hated on us and thought we were going to lose this day. Guess again!
Guess again! I know she's happy. She appeared to be slightly lit, so I'm not going to get on her about that because I'm often slightly lit. But I do try not to turn on the phone. Well, the phone's on, but start a video. She's getting beat up pretty good.
I'm going to let it slide.
You know? She was just excited. But I'm going to say in it, Ari, if you're going to do it, then we get to grade you on Sports Talk Radio because that's what we do. We're judgmental jerks.
Okay.
This is another person who has mostly experienced winning, is now pulling out the card. For all of those people who thought we'd lose, what are you talking about, like, the little bit of chatter when you were down for 10 minutes? Or are you actually suggesting there's a lot of anti-Chief sentiment out there, that people don't believe in the Chiefs? Come on, lady.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Please don't call out the, you know, pull out the no one believed in us card. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and also, like, it just reminds me of the Ayesha Curry thing. If it becomes, you know, like a call or something and she's breaking down how they got robbed on this call and stuff like that, it can get real fishy at that point. But hey, that they were winning, I'll just leave it at that. At least they weren't down when she was like, we're winning, we're killing it, and they're down like 20.
Well, as I started this, in the end, if that's who you married or that's who you're with and you're cool with it, you know, if you're the real crazy one, Nico Grimes is the nutty one who's married to NFL player Brent Grimes. And, man, she was freaking vocal in Miami. I mean, it looked like, in her case, like, Brent Grimes would complain about the team, and then she would just put all of it out on blast. And then she was doing, like, anti-Semitic stuff, you know, going anti-Jew against Steve Ross, the owner. It's like, okay, now, wife or girlfriend, we might have a little issue. Let's pump the brakes slightly. Next up.
Number three.
Now, that said, this is not just a, hey, females, be careful on social media. Dudes as well. But I'll ask the audience. Scott Zolak, he's one of our favorite guys. I like him because he's a super fan. he's one of those color voices. He's the Patriots guy. He loves Tom Brady. He goes crazy happy when Brady achieves. He gets down in the dumps. He's a super fan. He played the game, played with the Patriots. He does radio locally. And I actually like him because he's completely unfiltered. So I'm kind of caught between, did he embarrass himself over the weekend, or what he was, or was he doing something that was admirable because there's no filter? He says he wasn't drinking. He says he wasn't whacked. But as he was watching, you know, the Patriots are out. He's frustrated. He believes the Pats should have been in that spot against the Chiefs. He's watching the game, and he tweets out, and this is as the Chiefs are struggling in the game. He tweets out, hanging out with two Pats, watching game, rooting for Houston, cuz Travis Kelce is such a puss. Uses the full form of the word. Then he tweets again, fraud Kansas City with fraud tight end. Then as they're trailing, again, like there's a lot of game left, Mr. Zolak. Where is Kelce? Lots of flexing in pregame, puss. Says it again. Which I, you know what, I, please, if, I guess what I have to root for is the Chiefs not to make the Super Bowl, because then that would make this possible. I would love to see an interview with Travis Kelce. What is he, like 28, 6'5", you know, 250, and Scott Zolak, you know, 48-year-old, 6'5", 230. I would love to see those guys meet up and try to have a civil conversation on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
It would be dynamite.
Now, as I said, Zolak says he wasn't drunk. And by the way, should the Patriots step in and go, bro, you rep the organization. Can you not call opposing players in the NFL pusses? Can we stop this? I kind of hope they don't. I like it. It creates heat. He also tweeted out something about karma and was cracking on some of the other guys who've had some, not the Kelce's had trouble, but some of the guys who've had trouble on the Kansas City roster saying, karma, this is why you're losing. Like, bro, look inwards. The Patriots have plenty of dudes who've had some troubled histories and you know, well, there's one who's dead now. So I don't know if we should be pointing fingers at other organizations about karma when they're losing. Next up.
Number two.
That LSU story last night was freaking amazing. And one of the coolest things after the game, I don't know if people know, but the offensive coordinator there, his daughter-in-law died in a plane crash. She was a member of the media. She died in a plane crash, what was it, like 4 weeks ago now. And he went right back to work. This guy's a workaholic. And all of a sudden, social media, again, we're super judgmental on social media. There were a lot of people who got on him and they're like, you know, back off, football's not that important. And his family and his son specifically, who lost his wife, were like, no, this is what we do. This is how, you know, we want to recover. And she would have said, hey, keep working. And he did. And as a result, LSU didn't miss a beat. They got the job done in the semis against Oklahoma, because that whole thing went down, if I'm correct, right before the Oklahoma game. They got the job done against Oklahoma. 2 weeks later, they win the national title. And it was one of the really cool scenes last night, seeing the OC and his son embrace on the field. I'm not super gushy guy. Although I will say Troy Aikman got me a little bit with Jimmy Johnson, although we have to get to the Jimmy Johnson side of it, who's probably not a Hall of Famer, but the fact that those guys were so appreciative of each other. But anyway, this LSU assistant and his kid hugging after all they've gone through was really freaking cool. And then I thought the other interesting nugget, these guys work, man. And I'm not saying other college assistants don't work, and it's a very big discussion, like the balance between your job as a football coach and your family. And we've seen some really tragic stories where, hey, maybe, you know, dads were doing too much football. It's interesting because there's got to be a balance to life. But I personally like to work, and I like to work all the time. So I got a kick out of the fact that this OC, they said during the season, he sleeps at the facility at work. Not just one day a week. He sleeps there Sunday to Wednesday. How about that, Ari? Now that's off the clock, buddy. Shouldn't we get you can we build you a little bunk bed?
There's a great couch in the conference room. I know Angel knows. We frequent it sometimes.
I don't understand why you have to go home. The OC for LSU is working his nads off.
Yeah.
Do we want to achieve on Cofield and Company or not?
I need to step my game up.
You think I'm joking?
I don't.
You think? You know I'm not. Can we just? Can you ask? Where in that building can we get just like a little sliver, a little privacy to put a little bed in for you?
Right.
You and Jared. I'm going to say you can share it. You're going to have to sleep in shifts, is what I mean.
There's a story that about 15 years ago that a board op here that may or may not still work here that he was found curled up with a pillow underneath the board. So that might be an option.
But we had a salesperson who unfortunately had some substance issues, and that's actually how they got her eventually. I guess she was often just sleeping under her desk during the day, and they finally discovered it, and they're like, okay. Now that's the bet. Like if you're exhausted because you're, you know, gassed all the time or freaking whacked and you have to sleep at work, that's a different case. You can't really chalk that up like, look at the work ethic on this lady. That's not what I was talking about. So there's different positives to sleeping at the office and paying the ultimate price for success. I don't think she was getting the job done that way. Top story.
Number one.
All right, so early in the show I talked about the fact that I'll do a little bragging. Yay, I got a pick right. You know, you saw the RJ poll. We talked about it yesterday. 85% of the 40 respondents, all media, sportsbook guys, touts, radio folks, 85% had Clemson covering the spread. It was 34-6. I went the complete opposite way. I had LSU winning in a freaking blowout, winning, covering, and winning big. All right, so that's where the pat on the back ends. Because I also outlined early in the show, I was totally wrong on Ed Orgeron. I judged the guy by his demeanor, the fact that, you know, he's got this weird speaking voice. He's just kind of, as we'll describe him, you know, there are certain football guys who just appear to be like big lugs, you know. Look at that big galoot, right? And he's a guy, he's an energy guy on the staff. He can recruit. You know, there's legendary Orgeron stories about, you know, early in his career, he's a defensive line coach, and, you know, he's out there. And he's literally cracking heads with his linemen to show them as an example. But, like, he doesn't have a helmet on. There were some former players who were like, yeah, he's out there. He's, like, he's in the drill, and he gets out of the drill, and he's got blood all over his face, and he's just like, you know.
Let's go.
However he speaks, right? And that's the other thing. His speaking voice, he's a unique dude. I was wrong. I was totally wrong. I thought LSU hiring him was a bad decision. He didn't look great. His first full season as a guy out of the gates, 3-2. Had a loss to Troy. And I remember ranting and raving. I'm like, this is a bad hire. They got the wrong guy. I was all over Tom Herman, which I don't think that book is complete yet. By the way, Orgeron's book is not complete either. He also has to keep this going if we're going to start talking about him like Dabo and like Saban. It means you got to get another quarterback. I can have Joe Burrow right off the bat. But anyway, I can admit he's a good coach. He is right for LSU. I was wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. But you know who else was wrong? USC was wrong. Southern Cal was wrong. I was reading someone last night, you know, who follows college football, and they were trying to, you know, still defend USC. And I'll tell you, I'll get to those comments in a second. Arash Marchese, who's a columnist for the LA Times, has been beating this drum for a long time that USC completely blew it with Ed Orgeron. He was an interim. He had success. And I think a lot of people believe USC had this attitude like, hey, we're just too good for this guy. He can't rep us. And I don't know. It's this LA thing with both USC and UCLA. And the comments I was reading yesterday, it says, I'm seeing a lot of folks, a lot of Cali people lamenting USC not giving Coach O the full-time job. But these people underestimate the importance of fit. Like, I understand there has to be fit, but I believe the guy would have fit out there. He doesn't have to coach in Louisiana or the SEC. And by the way, he didn't do well at Ole Miss. You don't have to be, you know, Hollywood. And it's, you know, it says here, Ed Orgeron's 100% un-Hollywood. He would have freaking worked there. He would have been able to recruit there as long as he got good assistance and got support. Now, that's it. That's the thing I don't know about. He's got the support. The whole system is in place at LSU. They've got money. They keep upgrading their facilities. They're willing to pay all their assistants. He would have worked. And for SC folks who are still like, not the right guy, you're fools. And the same thing with UCLA. UCLA looking for a certain kind of coach. Listen, I don't know how Mick Cronin is going to work out. I don't think it's a great match. in that case. I'll give you a good example, because SC, I think, it continues to make mistake after mistake after mistake. We just talked to the basketball coach. That was a good hire in Enfield. I don't know if Clay Helton is going to ever turn this thing around, but they're stubborn. They've got admin problems there. Edo would have been a good hire. And on the UCLA side with Cronin, you know, there was a guy, we'll say right up the road, playing in this conference, playing in the state. Eric Musselman should have been the UCLA coach. He would have freaking been a massive success there. Now he's gone to Arkansas. They're off to a great start. I'm telling you, both of those schools with the attitude, like, you know, they're not good enough, not clean enough. I mean, there was actually talk that Chris Beard wasn't good enough for some people at UCLA. Can we cut it out with the attitude? That's why both, you know, on both sides with, you know, USC in the football program and UCLA with the basketball program and a little bit with the football program too. This attitude that, like, there has to be some high standard for both schools. You're not winning. Win. Stop with the freaking attitude. Cut it out. All right, on the way back, I want to get to Joe Burrow and those quarterback comparisons I was making earlier in the show. And we're going to give you, you know, some of the breakdown of just what kind of year Joe Burrow had. Listen, I hate, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but I don't like, you know, best of all time mentions because we're prisoners of the moment. But he's in the discussion. What he did this year was insane.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. You're listening to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'll be the first one to admit I can be insufferable and a freaking jerk, especially coming out of these, you know, big games. We often find some reason to be all bitter, find an angle to complain about. I really don't have much in terms of those angles. Out of the national championship game, I really enjoyed last night's game. I get a kick out of Ed Orgeron. Unique character. The guy can coach. The guy can recruit. I'm fascinated to see what he's going to bring to the national landscape now that he's won a national title, if he can turn LSU into the next Alabama. And I'm talking about consistently every freaking year. The expectation is unbeaten. Max one loss. You don't make the CFP. It's a failure. That's a lofty standard to reach. So we'll see if he can do it. The other thing is, you know, athletes can often get on our nerves, right? Someone can always find something negative about an athlete. Maybe you found something with Joe Burrow. I haven't. He seems like a cool kid. He's a hell of a player. I mean, the numbers he just put up were ridiculous. It's funny, last night or yesterday afternoon, whenever it was released, I think they had like a top 150 college football players of all time. Bad timing for Joe Burrow, but he might need to be on the list even in his limited time playing at LSU, because what he did this season was insane. The guy had 65 touchdowns. He had 60 throwing touchdowns. There was a note last night. The school I went to, Rutgers, had just terrible quarterback play and an awful season. I got to see Northwestern up close. They had a bad season and couldn't throw the ball. I think the number was, what was it? Last 3 weeks, Joe Burrow threw 16 touchdown passes. Rutgers and Northwestern in the entire season combined for 13. That kid outpaced in three games, two complete seasons for Power 5 teams. He threw for over 5,600 yards. He's the first quarterback ever with 60 passing touchdowns. Won the Heisman. Plus, he's just got a cool story. It'll be amazing if he lands with the Bengals and they can actually win. I mean, he's smoking a cigar after the game. I got to look into the background. I'm thinking it's like it's a website deal, but he's walking around wearing a Big D Joe hat. If you know what D is, like down for some D, right? Kind of like Nick Foles. Big D Nick, right? So he's walking around wearing a Big D Joe hat, got the cigar, and then his interview after the game, you know, was it Rinaldi was talking to him or was it Maria Taylor? I can't remember. You know, but it's this attempt by the sideline reporter to get him all emotional. Like, no. He started talking about a ring, and he points to his finger, And the question was asked, hey, do you know what size you are? He's like, yeah. He's like 10 and a half ring. He's like, we already got fitted for him. That is classic. Now, if that came out after they lost, that's a disaster. But there's a swagger about the kid, and yet he seems kind of humble. So he's a really cool story. And I can't wait to see what LSU does in the coming years. And to follow Burrow in the NFL, like I said, if he lands with Cincy, and he should, are we finally going to get, you know, a franchise guy who can turn around this moribund franchise as a, you know, a home state kid in Joe Burrow? Let's continue the football talk. We'll get Kadri Ismail, who is doing analysis work now, had a great career at Syracuse, had an interesting career, especially on the back end in the National Football League, as the former NFL wide receiver is up in just a few on Cofield & Company.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co. Now, back to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, lots to get to here. Not much time, right, before we get out of here at 6 o'clock, as we got Golden Knights hockey on the road. They're down 2-1 after two periods. Pizza Rock is the spot. You can come down and watch the game. We're going to be here often until the end of the hockey season. But a lot to get to with the national title game last night, NFL playoffs from last weekend, and looking ahead, Kadri Ismail, former NFL player who's working around the Vikings now, doing Vikings coverage, gives us a couple minutes. How are you, sir?
Yeah, actually, I'm with the Baltimore Ravens doing some Baltimore Ravens coverage.
There you go. There you go.
Played for the Vikings as well, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Little bad information on my part. So, first, I want your take on what happened last night in terms of what was the biggest story for you out of that LSU game. Was it Joe Burrow? Was it Clemson outpaced? Was it the uniqueness of Ed Orgeron?
I think if you look at college football in today's landscape, it's about how many players you got that are fast, they're physical, and if you got more than the opposing team, your chances of winning are exponential. I think in the SEC, the way in which the football recruiting, the way in which it's like its own religion, I think that clearly LSU and the way Ed Orgeron and having Burrow, plus just with the weapons he had around him, I take my hat off to Clemson for being a consistent ball club and being in the conversation year in and year out, was competing for their third one in 4 years. But, hey, LSU had more dogs in a fight than they did, and it showed in the end.
As a former NFL player and, you know, a high-level college player, do you think you have a better eye? You certainly have a better eye than I do when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, can you watch a Joe Burrow and you're like, you know what? That guy's got it. He's going to work in the NFL.
No, you can't, and because here's why. Now, he can probably read defenses. He can probably have a strong understanding on, you know, his mechanics and how it'll translate over. But what you can't anticipate is the speed of the game, and then who's your talent as far as around you, and then who's the coaching that you're going to be with in regards to preparing and game planning and, you know, that whole flow of chemistry. Because time and time again, we've seen it where you talk about, oh, yeah, this guy's the next greatest. Oh, yeah, this guy's the next greatest. And, you know, whether it be Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, both guys are, you know, in the conversation. It's like, oh, these are some young guys that are going to be up and coming. But then when you look at it, it's, well, okay, there are guys that now one is benched. Ryan Tannehill was supposed to be the Dolphins franchise quarterback, but now he's, you know, playing an AFC championship game and back-to-back games. He hasn't thrown for over 100 yards. Time and time again, we've seen just quarterbacks come into the league with a high resume and oh, my God, they're going to work out. But time and time again, you've seen it fail. So, you know, I throw caution to the wind. Does he have the intangibles? Sure. But can it, you know, translate over into the pro game remains to be seen.
Well, the other important thing is where you land, too, and who's around you and the coaches. Does he have a shot with the Bengals? Do the Bengals have a shot to get better? It's interesting. Ravens crushed him in the one game. It was a little closer in the other. The Bengals actually, I think, led the league. It was eight total games where they lost by inside of, you know, 7 points or less. Like, are the Bengals closer than we think?
So I think, again, part of what we've seen as far as the Bengals, even, you know, going from Andy Dalton, I forget the young man's name who they replaced him with, but he was terrible.
Ryan Finley, yeah. I said Ryan Finley, he was terrible.
Yeah, he was terrible. It literally was, you know, sitting there and it's like, as a Raven analyst, I was happy to, you know, say, all right, cool, this is going to be an easy game for the Ravens defense. And sure enough, you know, Marcus Peters probably had one of the easiest pick sixes in his life, you know, quick out pattern that was telegraphed by the quarterback, I'm going to throw it to you. And basically, you know, off you go. So, yeah, I think Marvin Lewis's era of, you know, consistent football but failing to win in the playoffs kind of did him in. I think the new coaching staff is a young one. It'll be remaining to be seen how well they can compete. But, you know, I don't know. I think clearly Joe Burrow is going to go. Unless something changes between now and then, I'm throwing caution to the wind, if you will, when it comes to whether or not he's going to be in a position to really make some noise.
So what happened to the Ravens?
They got beat. What else do you want to know? I mean,
The
bottom line.
How did that happen?
They got themselves in a position where they rested guys in the final week of the season against their arch rival in Pittsburgh. I think that for Lamar Jackson, being as young of a player as he is, he shouldn't have rested him. I think he needed his rhythm, his timing, and it reared its ugly head when it mattered the most. I think for Tennessee, and I've been there when it came to, you know, going into playoff football, and, you know, my 2000 Ravens ball club, when we won the Super Bowl, you know, the road went through the wild card, and for us, it was about being seasoned. It was about being, you know, us against the world type of a mentality, and that carried us into the Super Bowl. I don't think that this team had that killer instinct. I think they lost the edge by resting their players for some 20 days.
Sometimes you just meet up against a team. I'm not going to call the Titans a team of destiny, but just a team that is hot as a pistol and has things working, especially with Derrick Henry right now.
Again, you know, it is tried and true. Every single year you hear it, you know, well, this team is going to, you know, be one where they're going to get hot and they're going to get on a roll. And sure enough, they got hot, they got on a roll, and, you know, they went up to New England, got it done. They got hot, they got on a roll, and they came to Baltimore and shot the heck out of the number one seed that won 12 straight games.
Where do the Ravens need to improve in the offseason?
Pass rusher, and more pass rushing. the Darius Smith left for Green Bay. He's playing in an NFC Championship game. He has been just a man on a mission defensively as far as, you know, his skill set. I think that, you know, the games where there were some close ball games was when, you know, the Baltimore Ravens didn't really have that guy that can set the edge and also get to the quarterback.
Same question for another one of your former teams, the Vikings. What do they need to do in the offseason?
I think they need to figure out their identity. I know that, you know, what, their offensive coordinator now, he's going to be the head coach of, you know, the Cleveland Browns. I think that they got to figure out what they want to do. I mean, obviously, it's one thing to say we're going to run the ball, and it's another thing to say, you know, we got talented guys and Diggs and Thielen. But, you know, when you realize your talent and trying to get the ball to that talented group of players, and you do it in a way that, you know, keeps you on the field, I think that's what, you know, has been really kind of hurting them. They hadn't been able to sustain drives and really just, you know, get into a shootout or a matchup where I think that they could play that long-term winning football.
That's the voice of Kadri Ismail on Cofield & Company here in Vegas. You know, before he came out, I was talking about Ed Orgeron and how I misread him. A lot of people misread him. You know, folks can just miss. You know, USC missed on Ed Orgeron. They probably should have hired him. When you look back at your career, it's funny, looking at all the numbers, you had 2 1,000-yard receiving seasons later in your career. Did people miss on you early? Were you just miscast as a, you know, people just thought you were limited?
No, I don't think so. I think if you look at the bigger picture of professional sports, you got to learn how to be a pro. You got to learn how to address your weaknesses. You got to be in the right place at the right time with a good group of coaches that know what they're doing. And I think, you know, that whole groove, I can name, you know, so many players over the years, plural, that had, you know, their own ups and downs. And it just, whether it be their own fault or whether it be, again, them not having the right fit, you know, that's where I think a guy like a Bill Belichick, where I commend him, because it's not necessarily what you can't do. Stop saying all the negatives. But let's figure out what the player can do, and let's put him in the best position possible. And I think by the time I got to Baltimore, I recognized what I could do and others as well. And so that's what I believe propelled me into the second half of my career, if you will, and the ability to be the go-to receiver on a Super Bowl winning franchise.
Yeah, it's amazing how it happens. We have Tim Brown every once in a while with the Raiders coming here. You know, they're going to be the Las Vegas Raiders next year. And, you know, Tim Brown is a Hall of Famer, and essentially for the first 4 years of his career, he really didn't break through as a wide receiver. And then look at the numbers he piles up playing until he's 38 years old.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's you got to have the right people at the right time to, you know, say that, you know what, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to feature you. This is what we want to, you know, put into play to help you out. There's so much that goes on. Your ability to recover, your ability to not break down, all those little details, it matters in this game of football. I've seen it so many times where guys, you know, they're in the right situation and they mentally aren't ready for it. I've seen guys many times that they're in the wrong situation and they suffer. A.J. Green arguably should be one of the top players / putting a resume together to, you know, have Hall of Fame type numbers. Instead, you know, he's on the Bengals and he's going to be a Ring of Honor guy and he's struggling to stay healthy. A guy like Calvin Johnson, you know, unfortunately, you know, he's left off of the NFL all-time 100 team because he played for the Detroit Lions, but you put his resume up against anybody with right. any level of football intelligence and you should say he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So it just depends.
Hey, real quick, before we get you out of here, we're talking to Qadri Ismail, and we appreciate the time. You know, a little later where you are right now. Can Tennessee pull the upset on the Chiefs?
I mean, anything can happen. I think the big thing for them, it's about whether or not they can, you know, continue to progress with Ryan Tannehill playing a conservative role and whether or not Derrick Henry can score. You know, that's the bottom line. Can they score? Because I tell you right now, Kansas City, spotting a team 24 points and still whooping up on them by putting up 51 is remarkable.
Yep. I like Green Bay in the game against San Francisco. Am I wrong?
Say that one more time.
I like the Packers in the game against San Fran. I think they can go in there and pull off the upset. Am I wrong?
You know what? I think just because of the Aaron Rodgers effect, you know, you can always have a dog in a fight. You know, they got a running game and Jones, so I don't think, you know, he has to do it all by himself. So you're right. Yeah, but I will also say that when it comes down to it, next level, you know, is when you have a complete football team and the 49ers, their defense, it is, you know, tremendous off the edge, and they have a running game and they got enough explosive players. I love their tight end. I love the fact that Emmanuel Sanders is still, you know, got a lot in him. I like San Fran. I think it's going to be a challenge for Green Bay to get a win.
Qadri, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you.
There you go. Qadri Ismail, longtime NFL player. And, you know, as I was saying, a guy who really came on at the end of his career, big-time winner with the Ravens, and was mostly a kick returner for much of his career. For, like, the first 7 years, 6 years of his career, I think max receptions in a year was, like, 45 catches, and then was a monster down the stretch at age 29 through 32 with both Baltimore and the Colts. We'll close out with a couple of nuggets on that national title game last night as we're getting ready for another period of hockey down here as VGK is trying to pull off the comeback now, trailing. The Knights are down 2-1 at Buffalo.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Cofield and Company presents.
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
2-1 in the Golden Knights game. About 16 minutes left as they are trailing the Sabres on the road. So I know a lot of people are saying, hey, the road trip was, check that, the homestand was too long. They needed to get on the road. Plenty of time left, though. But right now they're trailing 2-1. And let me give you the correct time, 18:24 left in that one. We're watching on the 80-inch big screens down here at Pizza Rock. Happy hour is going on right now. Food and drink as low as $4. And if you come in with your Golden Knights gear, you can get a free beer. And we'll tell you when we're down here. We're actually going to be down here again on Thursday, but we'll be down for select Golden Knights games throughout the rest of the season. All right, in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Well, this one sucks, but, you know, it's a reality check for fans out there who think college football, NFL football, you know, these are make-believe characters and warriors and, you know, screw all these penalties that are protecting headshots. Luke Kuechly is 28. He retired. He's had so many issues with concussions that he's done. And he's a guy who's coming off a season where he was second team all NFL. So, I mean, he's still a really good player, but he has called it quits. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
On a lighter note, we may have a good food topic for tomorrow. I just saw someone on Twitter say F you to someone else because they tweeted out a picture of a waffle with fish on it. I've never thought of it. I'm not a big fish person. Is that a big problem? Is it? I don't know. This will be bouncing around tomorrow. I had a dry pancake for lunch. I just snacked on a giant pancake that was left over, and I enjoyed it, but I think a lot of people think I'm a lunatic and should be institutionalized because I will pancake it up with no butter, no syrup, just chalky, pancakey goodness. Back in there one more time.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Last night, did you see after the game, you know, all the football teams, college football teams will get food after, you know, the hard effort. Right in the middle of the chicken wars, according to Matt Fortuna, said that after the game, LSU got Popeyes and Clemson got Chick-fil-A. You know where I stand on that one. And here's the great thing. We can sit here and debate it. And in the end, who wins? It's not Popeyes. It's not Chick-fil-A. It's Big Chicken. Big Chicken did it to us again. You got us, Big Chicken.